Good morning. Today's daf in Sukkah Yud Beis. We are starting Yud Alef Amud Beis. We're at the two dots. Zakla Koldovish and Makabel Tumah. The Mishnah gave us some very basic rules regarding what is eligible to be used as Schach. Basically, it could be summarized as three separate rules. Number one, it has to be Gedulim on the Karka. It has to be something that grows from the ground. Number two, it has to be Talush min HaKarka. It also has to then be detached from the ground. And then finally, it has to be something which is Einu Makabel Tumah. A kli, anything fashioned to a kli, which is mekabel tumah, even if it grows in the ground, a wooden bowl, a wooden spoon. That is not going to be able to be used as schach. So these are the three basic rules. In terms of gidulim and akarka, what is that derived from? So the Gemara does not give us a formal drasha, but it's kind of understood in. And as we're going to see a couple of drushes this morning, so it's going to be pretty self-evident that it has to be something that grows from the ground. In terms of the fact that it has to be mechubar, it has to be talish, it has to be detached. So that too, the Gemara itself is not super clear about in terms of what the source is. But what the Gemara is going to be super clear about is that it cannot be mekabel tumah. You can't take wood, fashion to a kli, and then use it as your schach. So that's what we're going to be discussing right now. And the Gemara is going to give us a drasha in terms of how we know that. I guess once you know that, then you can kind of reverse engineer. Once you know that it has to be, that it can't be something which is Megabal Tumah, so then you may get to the first two points already. It could be that's how it works. But anyway, regardless, so Zach called up Vishim Megabal Tumah. So again, so we start with the Gemara on the bottom of Yud Alpha Midbeis and Minahan Emili. So the question over here is really simple. What's the drasha? What's the source of this halacha that your schach, by definition, cannot be Megabal Tumah? So Amri Shlakish, the Gemara is going to go over four different possibilities in terms of what the drasha is. Number one, B'shem Reish Lakish, Amakra, the pasuk says, Ve'ya Lemon Aretz. So a really interesting source, and that comes from Maisa Bereishis. So in Maisa Bereishis, the Torah describes a mist. That's the aid, which is Ya'a Lemon Aretz, and it comes from the ground. So Ma aid, Dav Hashem Mekabel Tumah, V'gidu Lemon Aretz, Av Sukkah, Dav Hashem Mekabel Tumah, V'gidu Lemon Aretz. So how are we describing this mist? The Gemara is giving a really interesting way to describe it. The Gemara describes it as a devashen makabel tumah. It's just mist, and it grows from the ground. Okay, not in the sense that we normally assume things grow from the ground, not like vegetation, but still, it's emanating from the ground. And so the same thing is going to be true regarding schach. Now, what in the world does schach have to do with mist? So good, it's a wonderful question. The answer is, the Gemara is assuming right now, why do we send a sukkah? So if you recall, there are two reasons why we send the sukkah. Machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Akiva says it reminds us of the sukkah's mamish. According to Rabbi Eliezer, it reminds us of the Anane HaKavod. So the Gemara now is comparing the Anane HaKavod that was there with us in the Midbar to the mist of Maisa Bereishis. So the Gemara says, great. Now we have just developed a wonderful source, but only if I subscribe to the sukkah being Anane Kavod. And that's the Gemara's next point exactly. Hanich lamandamar l'anane kavod, hayu alamandamar sukkahs mamashasu l'amayka l'meymar. So this approach only works if I subscribe to Anane Kavod. But it's a machlokes ha-tanaim, detaying with the Breika in the Breisa. Ki besukkahs ha-shavtis b'nei Yisrael Anane Kavod, hayu divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Shitas Rabbi Eliezer is that the ki besukkahs ha-shavtis, I put you in sukkahs, and that's why there's a mitzvah to be in a sukkah, meaning this is one of the moments in the Torah, there are not that many, where the Torah gives us the reason why. There is a mitzvah to sit in the sukkah. Why? Keep a sukkah so shaftis ben Yisrael. Because I sat you in sukkahs back in the Midbar. So over here, so what sukkah is the Kadosh Baruch Hu making reference to? So it's a machlokas. According to Rabbi Eliezer, it's mamish because of the Anane Kavod, because of the clouds of protection that the Kadosh Baruch Hu provided for us while we were walking through the Midbar. And Rabbi Kiva Amar, sukkahs mamish asulahem. And Rabbi Kiva says, no, it's supposed to remind us of the sukkahs mamish. Okay, when we get to the drasha again, because we're going to get to the drasha again later in the Masechta, I'll try to lend voice to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is a little bit difficult. Meaning, do you know why we have this mitzvah called sukkahs? Because when we were in the desert, so we built for ourselves, we constructed for ourselves huts. Meaning, okay. Right, exactly. We had to be somewhere. Okay, fine. So, but the Anane HaKavod, obviously it's much more mistaber. In other words, that's a nace. It's a nace nigla. So for that, it's a little bit easier to understand, absorb, digest how it is that we have a, that we have a mitzvah to remember the Anani Kavod. Anyway, so this Mahalach, that the aid is the source that your Pschach cannot be Mekabel Tumah, and it's being derived from the Anani Kavod. That's great if you hold that it's Anani Kavod, but if you hold it Sukkot's Mamish, like Rabbi Akiva does, what are you going to say? And the Gemara just simply restates, Hanichal Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Akiva, Ma'ikal Ameimar. Okay. So the Gemara says, okay, so this source works, but it's limited. So now the Gemara is going to try a second attempt. So once again, we go now back to Parshas Re'eh, right? As you can see, we keep jumping between Parshas Emor, Parshas Re'eh, in both occasions. So the Torah tells us, introduces us to this mitzvah of Sukkah. So in Parshas Re'eh, the Torah says, Chagah Sukkah Sasalach, and we have a Hekesh over here. So make a Sukkah L'chagiga. The Chag over there is a reference to the carbon Chagiga. We already made this point as well a couple times in the Masechta. So Machagiga Davashen Mekabel Tumah V'Gidulam Min Haaretz. So Sukkah Davashen Mekabel Tumah V'Gidulam Min Haaretz. Now you know the carbon Chagiga, so it's an animal. So you know we could say a couple things about an animal. One, it's not Mekabel Tumah. That's interesting, but it's correct. Meaning a live animal is not Mekabel Tumah. Okay, there are some exceptional scenarios in the Torah where a live animal is Mekabel Tumah. That's by Golan Dofek. If you understood, great. If not, that's fine. We could just move on. So it's, but the Gemara is assuming right now. The Gemara is going with the basic rule that an animal is not Mekabel Tumah. And the Gemara is also saying a second interesting thing when it comes to an animal. It's Gedula Min Haaretz. It grows from the ground. Now, animals do not go from the ground. Animals are a result of what's called sexual reproduction. So the Gemara over here is calling it Gedula Min Hakarka. How does that work? So Rashi over here points out, yeah, it's Gedula Min Hakarka. This is, again, the Shita of Rav Yochanan, because how does it grow? It grows by eating from the ground. And since it gets its nourishment from the ground, so it's Gedulam in a Karka. Now, Rashi over here, you can see the last Rashi in our Amud, it's a long Rashi. So Rashi over here tries to balance out that sometimes we describe animals as Gedulam in a Karka, and sometimes we don't. So, and Rashi cites a number of different drashas where we do and we don't. So the, right, the end of the Rashi, you can see, the Gemara Bamitsiya. Right, the last couple of lines of Rashi in Asochus Apollon, that's a perik in Bamitzia, where the Poel, you know, the worker is allowed to eat on the land that he's working on. Right, the in other words, if you're working in a vineyard and you're on, and it's hot and you're on, out in the vineyard, so you're allowed to take grapes and eat the grapes. So the it's very similar to the. To the Isser in the Torah of Lo Sachsam Shor B'disho. When your animal's threshing, so your animal's obviously going to be interested in taking a little bit to eat, so Lo Sachsam Shor B'disho. Don't muzzle your animal. You can allow him to eat. So the Gemara in Bamitzia says, so, Po'alam Ochlim Medavar Shekidulam in Arts, V'gamar Melo Sachsam Shor B'disho. Madayish Miyucha Davar Shekidulam in Arts, Yatza Acholah V'amechabit V'amegabin Amalav Gidulam in Arts, Kari Laitana. And so, so what can the worker do? So like I described, can pick a grape from the vine, can pick an apple from the tree, but what can your worker not do? Let's say it's a dairy farm. So what your worker cannot do is your worker can't stand there while milking the cow and say, you know what? My coffee could use a little milk, and puts his cup of coffee right under the cow and starts, you know, adding milk into his cow. Adding milk into his coffee. So, that you cannot do. Why? Because the Gemara over there says, because the cow is not gedulam in aretz, meaning this allowance for the worker is only for something which is gedulam in aretz. That Gemara in Bamitzia says very clearly states that an animal is not gedulam in aretz, or at least the milk coming from the animal is not gedulam in aretz. Okay, so Rashi says it's a balancing act. Sometimes an animal is described as gedulam in aretz, sometimes it's not, and takes a little bit of work trying to figure out how exactly these halachas get balanced. Anyway, but our Gemara, for our purposes right now, our Gemara is assuming that an animal is Gedula Min Haaretz, and so therefore, just like the carbon chagiga is something which is not Mekabel Tumah and grows from the ground, so that which is that which is used as Yishchach is something which is also not Mekabel Tumah, something that grows from the ground. The obvious question which the Gemara now is about to ask. So what is that? That's the obvious question which the Gemara is about to ask. So, as we turn to the top of Yud Beis Amud Aleph, Imach Chagiga Balei Chayim, Afsukah Nami Balei Chayim. And so here's what we're suggesting. So what am I going to use for my schach? I'll use live animals for my schach. Okay, so I'll take a chicken coop and I'll put the chicken coop right over my head and the chickens will serve as my schach. Okay? Or highly not, The Gemara is just simply saying it's implausible, it's untenable, right? To a certain degree, I don't want to imagine it too much, but the droppings of the chicken that are going to be deposited on your food as you're eating. Okay, it's, in other words, the Gemara says it brings us to an absurd conclusion. And so therefore, that was our second attempt. Now we're up to our third attempt. What is the source of the halacha that your schach cannot be mekabel tuma? So kiyasa Rav and Amar Rav Yochanan. Well, it always works this way, right? Rav Dimi comes in from Eretz Yisrael, quotes Rav Yochanan one way, and now Ravin's coming from Eretz Yisrael, and he quotes Rav Yochanan a little bit differently. In other words, Rav Yochanan was saying shir, and Rav Yochanan was giving different explanations in terms of why our schach cannot be mekabel tuma. Okay, so yesh v'yesh. So Rav Dimi and Ravin have different mesoras in terms of what Rav Yochanan said. It is possible, certainly I'm just speculating, I don't know, but it's possible that Rav Yochanan said both. In other words, he was saying shir. One day he said it one way, another day he said it a different way. So it's certainly possible. Either way. So here, kiyas Ravin amar Rav Yochanan amar kara b'aspecha b'garncha miyekvecha. So b'psolos garen v'yekev ha'kasem edamir. So when the Torah gives a description of the sukkah, the Torah says, b'aspecha, when you collect, migarncha miyekvecha. So you go out to your garden, your granary, and whatever's left over there, meaning the actual food itself, no, that you're using for yourself. But whatever the leftover is, the chaff, the stalks, so that you'll use for your schach. And the same thing, miyekvecha, your yekev. You go out to the vineyard, so obviously the grapes you're collecting for yourself. Now, the vines and the leaves and all the byproducts, that you use for your schach. So that's the Gemara's drasha. Bipsolas garen v'yekev akasam adab. It's talking about the leftover, the residual. So the Gemara says, v'ema garen atzmo v'yekev atzmo. Gemara says, wait 1 second. Slow down. Maybe we're talking about the actual fruit itself. Maybe what you should be using for your schach is the actual food. The grain and the grapes. Maybe that's what we should be using. Maybe that's what the Torah wants from us. Now, if that were the case, and now we've lost our proof altogether, because as we know, food is mekabel tuma. Okay, so the Gemara says no. I'm Reb Zera Yekev Ksivkan. So Reb Zera says it can't be talking about the food itself, because we're talking about Yekev. Now, I described Yekev as grapes, but truth of the matter is Yekev is really a reference to the wine. Now, wine is a liquid. Now, what are you going to do? You're going to make schach out of wine? Like, how can that be? It obviously can't support itself. So it's just simply physically impossible. So that's how we know that it can't be talking about the actual fruit itself, because the fruit in question over here is wine, and wine cannot be used as chach. Just physically can't be used as chach. So maskevler Rabbi Yirmiyah v'yema yain karush, haba misner shehu doma le'igule dvela. Well, what about congealed wine? Congealed wine obviously is going to take on a solid form. And now, why don't you just simply use the congealed wine as your schach? So I'm Rabbi Zera. So Rabbi Zera said, "Oh, I thought I had a correct shot." And meanwhile, Rav Yirmi comes in and throws a wrench into the whole works. Meaning, he asked me a question, and I don't have an answer to his question. Okay. Okay, good. So you have an answer. The Gemara also has an answer as well. So Rav Ashi Amar Migarncha v'lo Gornat Batzmo Mi Yikvecha v'lo Yekev Atzmo. So Rav Ashi, in defense of this pshat, he really feels that this pasuk in Parshas Ray is really the source, and you have to look at the prefix. The pasuk says both times it's a Migarncha and Mi Yikvecha. So it means from the Goren and from the Yekev, meaning not the actual Goren and Yekev itself, the grain. And the grape / wine itself, that no, but we're talking about the residual, the vines and the branches. That's what we're describing over there. Okay, so that was all our third approach. The Gemara is somewhat happy with this third approach. It certainly works out better. It certainly worked out better than the previous two approaches. And the Gemara now is going to be providing a fourth approach. Rav Chista Amar Mehacha. Now the Gemara finishes quoting from this pasuk, but if you look up the pasuk itself, so the Navi Ezra is telling everyone, and the reason why you're collecting all these branches is because you're going to make a sukkah, and you need these branches to make a sukkah. Or let's put it simply, it's a beferish pasuk. It just happens to be coming out of Sefer Ezra. Now, to be a little bit more accurate, by the way, it comes out of Sefer Nehemiah, but you're going to find Rashi here and Rashi everywhere throughout Shas. He thinks Ezra Nehemiah is one Sefer, right? So therefore, he always calls it Sefer Ezra, even though we're formally quoting from the eighth parak of Sefer Nehemiah, what we call Nehemiah. Anyway, it's a Beferish Pasuk. It's a little bit odd, by the way, that the other Amoraim, when citing a source in terms of how do I know that the that you have to be using branches in something which is not Mekabel Tumah, so one of the quote this Pasuk from Ezra, if I had a guess, which is what I'm doing right now, so if I had a guess, they would have preferred quoting Pesukim from Chumash, from Pesukim in the Torah. Over here, you Manahan Emili, you want a source, so now we're going to be quoting a Pasuk from Ezra Nehemiah. So that's why I think the other Amoraim were resistant to going down this approach. Now, this approach tells us that you're collecting, I mean, the instructions are very clear. Ale Zayis, Ale Eit Shemen, Ale Hadas. Okay, so the leaves and presumably the branches as well. So, Hainu Hadas, Hainu Eit Avos. So, come over here, just one small question, and that is, look, in the list of things that the Navi instructed the Jewish people to use, so he said, get for yourself, Hadas and Eit Avos. That's the same thing. So, Amar of Chista had a shot to the Sukh of Eit Avos Lululov. So the Gemara says, yeah, they're the myrtle branches. They're both the same thing. That's true. But when describing, the Eit Avos, that means the myrtle branches that are kosher to be used for a Dalminim. In the third parak, when we give a very detailed description of each of the Dalminim, so we're going to learn together that the Hadas, the Eit Avos, the myrtle branch, what we call in English. So it has to be that the leaves are coming in triplets. And we'll give detail later in the third parak exactly what the triplets look like, but they have to be triplet leaves. And Eitz Hadashote is going to be described later in the Masechta, where the leaves are not triplets. It's two leaves coming out of one parallel line, and then the third leaf is either above it or below it, but in other words, it's not operating on the same line in the branch. And that is described as a Hadashote, okay? A foolish Hadas, right? The Hadas is a little bit off. Okay, I know the Gemara describes people, you know, being having mental challenges. So the Gemara describes it as being a shota, same idea. In other words, the person's a little bit off. So here as well, same thing. So brings us to the end of our first discussion of today's daf. How do I know that the schach that we use on our sukkah is something that cannot be mekabel tumah? So we have four different possibilities. The first two, the Gemara really struggled with, and didn't work out. The third possibility, the Gemara seems to be happier with, pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, ba'aspecha migarncha miyekvecha, migarncha miyekvecha, and the third drasha is coming from a pasuk in Sefer Nehemiah, where the Navi gives very clear instructions to the Jewish people: you're going to make a sukkah, you're going to be collecting branches and twigs in order to make your sukkah. I mean, you need them for the schach because it has to be something which is not mekabel tumah. We're in the Mishnah on the middle of Yud Beis Amud Aleph and Chavilei Kash. We're talking now about bundles. Okay, you go to the farm, so you see this by the hay. So what they do is they bundle the hay. Okay, and hay, of course, is not the only thing that's bundled. Many things are bundled. And so can I take the bundle of twigs and or whatever vegetation we're talking about, and can I use it as my schach? The answer should be yes. And meanwhile, as we're going to learn now in the Mishnah, the answer is no. So why not? So stay tuned, as we're going to discuss. Okay. So, Chavilei Kash, Chavilei Etzim, Chavilei Zeradim, Ein Misachechin Behen. So the Mishnah says, when I have bundles of straw, or wood, or whatever other vegetation, so you cannot use this chach, Ein Misachechin Behen. V'kulin Sheitirik Sheres. Now, if you untie it, so that's great. V'kulin Sheres L'defanos. Now, if you want to use them for your walls, that's also fine. Meaning even in the tied form. Okay. So now as far as the Chavilei Zeradim, so Rashi says, they're basically some sort of animal fodder. In their moist state, they're great for the animals. In their dry state, so they're great as firewood. Okay. And so basically what you do sometimes is you leave it out there to dry and it could be used as firewood. Anyway. So in terms of why it can be Mesachich, so stay tuned. In the Gemara, we're going to learn the reason why. Rashi over here says, but you can use them for your walls. So why can you use them for your walls? So Rashi over here repeats an idea that he's extraordinarily fond of here in this first parak of Sukkah. All right, an idea that he already articulated twice on the first daf, and then I lost count. I believe he said a couple more times over the course of this parak, and he says it again on today's daf. And that is that when we're talking about a sukkah is the schach. The walls are not part of the sukkah. The walls are necessary, obviously, In other words, and we learned together that if you don't have your base minimum of three walls, you don't have a sukkah. But the guidelines of the walls of the sukkah don't fall under whatever the schach is. All the drushes that we had so far and continue to have regarding the requirements are specifically for the schach, but not the walls. Why? Because the walls are not part of the sukkah, meaning they're not part of what is the halachic definition of sukkah. You need the walls or hechi timsa if you will, it's a hechsher mitzvah, but the sukkah itself is a schach. Our Rashi's bothered. You know, earlier, back all the way at Daf Vav, so we said, how do I know that there's a requirement of three walls or four walls? It's based on the number of times that the Torah says the word sukkahs, and it's based on whether or not we're focusing on the way it's pronounced or the way it's written, right? Yeshem lemikra, yeshem lemesorah, if you remember. So, and Rashi's bothered. You know, the number of times it says sukkah, and we're darshaning that for the walls. So Rashi over here, right here, on today's daf says, I know, don't worry about that Gemara. That Gemara is just noting that there are a number of excessive times that the Torah says the word sukkah. It's just miyisura dekra. It just happens to be that there are extra psukim. But don't focus on the fact that we're darshaning the word sukkah for the walls. It just happens to be. But the walls themselves do not have all the halachic requirements that schach needs to have. Walls can be made out of anything. Okay, haraya our mishnah over here. Okay, Amar Rav Yaakov Shmamina, de Rav Yochanan Tarte. So Rav Yaakov says, look, I learned two things from Rav Yochanan. Ha chadaha. So one is our mishnah. And v'idach, now, I don't need Rav Yochanan to teach me our Mishnah, meaning our Mishnah told us our Mishnah, but in a moment you'll understand better what exactly what Rav Yaakov is trying to express. V'idach, and he learned also another Mishnah. This Mishnah is coming up in a couple of days from now in the Daf, and that is a chotit begadish la'asos l'sukkah in the sukkah. So let's say you have a haystack, right? That happens to be a perfect haystack. And so what do you want to do now? You want to say, look, all I need to do is hollow out the haystack, and we have now a natural sukkah. So you hollow out the haystack, and now it looks great, right? Like an igloo, which, in other words, instead of ice, it's made out of straw. And so now I'll sit in on sukkahs, and that'll work. Not only is that not going to work, it's puzzle. You cannot use that as a sukkah. All right, so that's the halacha we're learning later on. So we really now have two mishnayos. One is that a pile of hay that's still tied together, that's no good. That's our mishnah on Yud Beis. And then, hachotet bagadish, you hollow out the haystack, so that's also not going to be good. And that's the Mishnah later on in Tesvav. So those are two Mishnayos. Now, what is the reason? So for this, Rav Yochanan offers two explanations. One is Chad Mishum Gzeres Otzer. There's something called Gzeres Otzer. It's a rabbinic decree, which I'll explain better in just a moment. And V'chad Mishum Tasev Alom Anasui. And another is a Psul De Araisa, a disqualification of the Torah in which you have to make your sukkah, and you cannot have the sukkah just simply have been there without any interaction, without any physical intervention on my part. If a sukkah just happens to organically be there without my maisa, without an action, it's simply not going to be a good sukkah. And the Torah says with clarity, chag sukkah tasalach, you have to make the sukkah. Okay, so the daf, yesterday's daf, so the Gemara spent some time going over what exactly are going to be the minimum definition of an asiya, but nevertheless, the basic halacha is that it has to be tasa v'lo mena asui. So when I carved out my haystack, so now, as far as the schach is concerned, I didn't put the schach over there. The schach just happens to be there, and that's a violation. Well, I kind of just gave away the answer, but that's fine. I don't mind. So anyway, so we have two mishnayos, and we have two explanations of Rav Yochanan. V'lo yadana ha'imina mishamotza v'ha'imina misham tasa v'lo mena asui. And so here's what I don't know. I don't know how to match. I have two Mishnayos. I have two explanations for Rav Yochanan. The two Mishnayos is our Mishnah on Yud Beis, the Mishnah on Tezvav. Our Mishnah of using Chavile Kash, the Mishnah on Tezvav, describing Chote Begadish. I have two explanations for Rav Yochanan. One is an explanation of Tasav Lam Nasuri. Another is an explanation of Gzeres Otzer, which I haven't really explained yet. And I don't know which one belongs to which. Okay. And so now, I need some help, says Rav Yaakov, matching the explanation to the Mishnah. Okay. The answer will be pretty obvious, and we'll get to the answer in just a moment. Let me explain a little bit better this Gzeres Otzer. Gzeres Otzer is a rabbinic decree of using the Otzer. Now, Rashi over here explains what is Gzeres Otzer. It means like this. It basically means that, look, I put a bundle of hay, a tied bundle of hay on top of my shed. Now, why did I do so? Well, I did so because I wanted to provide shade. I also happens to be, I'm not going to lie, I like the fact that right now it's going to dry on the top. But I also provided for the shade. Okay, so can such now an apparatus be used as a sukkah and a tarva? The answer, of course, is yes. Remember, back on Daf Test a couple days ago, so the Gemara says that you don't have to make your sukkah lishma. Right. However, you do have to make it litzel. In other words, whatever hut you're constructing has to be made for the purposes of shade. You don't have to make it l'shem sukkah. That's shitas beis shammai. We don't pass like beis shammai. We pass like beis sel. It does not have to be made l'shma, but it does have to be made l'shem sel. Oh. So if I'm putting my bundle of hay on top so that I want it to dry and I also want the shade that it provides, that's great. Ah, but what if, let's say, the only reason why I put it on the top of the roof is only because I want it to dry. Ah, so now such a structure is not made for the purposes of shade. Ah, and now if then at a later point in time I decide to change my mind and now use this as my sukkah, so now because I didn't put the schach on top for the purpose of shade, so now the sukkah is not going to be a good sukkah. This is what's called gzeiras otsar. So now if for concern of what, of the case in which I put it on top only for it to dry, so the Chachamim came along and disqualified, even if I put it up for the purposes of providing shade. Okay, that's a gzeiras otsar. This is this case because of that case. Good. So now, let's go back to our Gemara. Now, I'm sorry, before we go back to our Gemara, the psul of Tasav Lomanasar, that's a psul daraisa. The psul of gzeiras otsar, that's obviously a rabbinic decree. Okay, now, I have the two Mishnayos, I have the two explanations. So now, let's go ahead and let's plug them in. I'm Rav Yirmiyah. So now we pick it up right where we left off. So Rav Yirmiyah says, so let me explain. Nechzei Anan. Let's take a look. I'm Rabbi Chaber Abba, I'm Rav Yochanan. So we have another statement by Rav Yochanan. And with this statement to Rav Yochanan, it all will fit. So here now, in this more expanded statement to Rav Yochanan, why can I not use bundles of straw as my schach? Because pamim shadam bamin asada be'er vechavila so'aktefo, coming in from the field and this bundle now is on his shoulder. Umala manicha gabi sukasa k'de liyavsha. And then he puts it on top of the hut, but only so that it could dry. And then v'nim l'chaled l'sichoch. And then you change your mind. V'atar amra tasa v'lo manasui. And that's a violation of tasa v'lo manasui. Now, this part gets a little bit confusing, but hopefully I'll say this as clearly as possible. I know he just ended with the words Tasav Laman Asui, but this is really Gzer Sotzer. Meaning, if I would have put the pile on for the purposes of shade, it would have been fine. But what we're concerned about is that maybe put it on only for it to dry, and then subsequently I'll then change my mind without having done anything to it, to that pile on top, and now I'll make use of it. So it will lead to the prohibition of Tasav Lomanasui. But even if I put it on with the intention for it to be used as shade, it's still not going to be good. Why? Because it's a gzera. In other words, gzera's otsar is effectively because it may get me to the next scenario, and the next scenario is a biblical violation of Tasav Lomanasui. But what do you see over here? The chavile kasha var mishnah is really premised on a gzera because it may get me to the issur d'oraisa of Tasav Lomanasui. Now the Gemara says, good. So now, a simple process of elimination. Our Mishnah Yud Beis is a gzera issue, which means that the Mishnah Tezvav, Avachote Begadish, hollowing out the haystack, that's Tasav Lomanasui. Okay. And now, Rav Yaakov, why couldn't he figure that out? So the Gemara says, because he didn't have that statement to Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, meaning he didn't have that expanded version of Rav Yochanan, and so without it, so it could be a little bit of a struggle, which Rav Yaakov, in fact, struggled. Am Rav Ashi, atu chavila kash vechavila etzim mishum gzeres otzer ika, mishum tasav lomanasur ileka. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. This whole discussion really confused me. Meaning, let's consider. Our mission over here, you're throwing your pile of hay, your tied pile of hay on top of your hut. And we're saying now in our Mishnah, what's the issue? It's a gzera. What do you mean? It's a gzera? How about this? How about we're talking in our Mishnah about a case where I put it on specifically for the purpose that it would dry. Is that now a gzera? No. That's now an iser d'araisa. Because since I didn't put it on with the intention to be used as shade, I only put it on top with the intention of it to dry. So now, when I change my mind subsequently, it is now a violation of tasav lamanasui. I didn't put it there for the purposes of shade. And so that's a biblical violation. And the case of hollowing out the haystack. Hollowing out the haystack, that could be a case of gzera. Who knows? Maybe you put up the haystack to begin with for the purposes of using it as a hut. And maybe the Chachamim came along and made a gzera. Yeah, this haystack was put up, was piled up to begin with to be used as a hut, but maybe the next haystack won't. So it's so funny. You're saying that our Mishnah over here is a gzera, not an issa d'oraisa. And you're saying that Mishnah over there is a issa d'oraisa, not a gzera. Doesn't have to be. Rav Yochanan Amar Lecha, Rav Yochanan will tell you no. It has to be. Because Hachidiktani, because look, what we're doing now is not just explaining the Mishnayos, but also critical reading of the Mishnayos. Meaning, let's go to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says what? That when I have chavile, kasha chavile, etzim chavile, zradim, ein misachechen bahen. Don't use that as chach. Now the focus is on what? On the structure or on you? Our focus is on you. Ein misachechem lechatchiluhu de ein misachechem mishum gzeres otzer. Hadaraisa shapir dami. When the Chachamim are pointing their finger at you and saying to you, don't do that, meaning that the structure is me'ikr hadin really okay, is that the Chachamim came along and the Chachamim legislated, this is not the behavior you should engage in. That's why our Mishnah over here is talking more about the Gzera. Meanwhile, the Mishnah coming up on Tezvav, Hasam Diktani Einav Sukkah. The Mishnah there says that if you hollow out your haystack, it's not a good Sukkah. Focus is not on you. Focus is on the actual structure itself. Huh. So, inesukah afilu, the evet midaraisa nami inesukah, which means that there's a focus on the structure. That means the structurally it's no good, meaning it's simply not a sukkah. Okay. That finishes our next round of today's daf. We learned together now the Mishnah. A pile of hay tied together cannot be used as your schach. Why not? Because the Chachamim were worried that when you put it on originally, you did not put it on for the purpose of sell. You put it on only for the purpose that it dry. And then if subsequently you were to use it later, changing your mind, saying, you know what? That's going to now be used as my sukkah. That's no good because that's now a violation of tasav loman asui. You did not put it up there for the purpose of shade. And even if you did put it up there for the purpose of shade, the chachamim made a gzera. What we learned together this morning is gzera sotzer. That's our Mishnah. And then the Mishnah that we're going to see a couple days from now, achotit begadish. So that's just a simple violation of Tasav Elomen Asui. You literally did nothing in order to make the schach. By hollowing out the haystack, now the schach is just simply there with no physical intervention. And so that's a violation, a Nisu Daraisa, of Tasav Elomen Asui. Two more points for today's daf. Number one. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. We're on the Amud Beis, Yud Beis Amud Beis. We're four lines down. And that is Sichacha Bechitzin Zecharin Ksheira B'Nekevus Psula. So now we're talking about arrows. Now, right, I saw in the, whatever, I'm sure you have a picture. Okay, good. So so arrows are made up of a male and a female. Okay, the arrows are basically screwed together. And so the male component of the arrow, that's the part that has a toch. I'm sorry, that's the part that does not have a toch. Okay, fine. That's the, quote unquote, the male arrow. And the female component of the arrow, that's the part that has a toch. It has an insert. Now, both are made out of wood, and our assumption, of course, is, well, not our assumption. What we know is that that when it comes to Kli Eitz, anything made out of wood, if it has a toch, it's Mekabel Tuma. If it does not have a toch, it's Eino Mekabel Tuma. So flatware, for example, even though it's functional, but if the flatware is made out of wood, it's not Mekabel Tuma. Wood has to, by definition, have to have a toch, it has to have an insert in order for it to be Mekabel Tuma. So if what I want to be using as my schach are the male sections of the arrow, that's fine. That does not have an insert. If I want to use the female components of the arrow, so that has a toch, it's mekabel tuma, you can't use it. Okay, it's a pretty straightforward halacha.
And the arrow is together like the tip.
Oh, okay, good. Hold that thought. So, bechitzim zecharim ksheira b'nekevus psula, zecharim ksheira. Now, if I use a male component of the arrow, so it's kosher, so pshita, the Gemara says, you know, truth of the matter is, we could have figured that out. It's wood. It's flatware. It doesn't have a toch. It's not mekabel tuma. Okay, check. It checks out. Like, why would I have thought otherwise? So the Gemara says, because the Havamin would be that this is a perfect scenario to make a gzeira. Meaning, if I'm using half of my arrow set to use the schach, so then somebody who's not that schooled, not that educated, is just going to take the other half and say, look, if this half is fine, the other half is fine as well. Not realizing the subtle difference where one is mekabel tumah and the other is not mekabel tumah. So kamash malan, so the chiddush is no. The chiddush is that the chachamim did not make a zero in such a scenario, right? And we have this a lot of times throughout Shas, meaning that we could have conceived a reason why the chachamim would make a gzera, and the chiddush is that the chachamim did not make a gzera. Why did they make a gzera? Good. I'll let somebody smarter than me figure that out. But they didn't make a gzera. So b'nekevas psula pshita. So the Gemara says, okay, now to tell me that you cannot use the nekeva side of the arrows, those that have a toch. So the Gemara says, that's kind of easy. We would have figured that out. So ma'u detema beis kibel asur lamalos lo shmei kibel kamash malan. Ah. So the Gemara says, here we would have had another havamina. Otherwise, of course, there are two components to the arrow, but again, what you're going to do is that you're going to put the arrows together. In other words, you're going to take the male and you're going to put it into the female, and and you're going to make a complete arrow. So I might have thought that the female section, even though right now it has an insert, but it's an insert that's going to get filled in. And so you could have made an argument that because it's going to get filled in, and Rashi over here's language is very strong. Ha'asui lamalos milui olam. Shaloli Yisro kan od. Meaning when I put the arrows together, that's it. And once I put the arrows together, so now it is one object, which does not have a toch. And so therefore, I might have thought, you could have made an argument, that even though they were separated, but since we plan on filling it in and permanently, so therefore, even in its unfilled state, maybe then we could argue that's not mekabel tumah. That's a havamina.
Is that a
keli now? Huh? But it is a keli now, but flatware, meaning it doesn't have a toch. In other words, we're talking about wood. We're talking about wood. Okay.
Not plastic, not wood.
We're talking about wood. Okay. So that is the halachas regarding using your various sections of the arrows of schach. Okay. Probably not lemaisa, but okay. Next. Amar Rabba Bar Bachan, Amar Rav Yochanan. Okay. Now we're talking about using flax as a schach. Okay. I know this sounds funny, but it really did help me in preparation of the daf. So I watched the video on how to make flax. Okay. It's exactly how the Gemara describes it, but when you see it though, oh, it's so much better. So it's so good. Okay, so you grow the flax. The flax, we described this in the Gemara earlier. So the flax grows as stalks, as single stalks. And so what you're going to do now is you're going to go through a number of steps in order to take the flax and make it into linen. So number one, what you're going to do is that you're going to soak the flax. Great. Okay, I watched the soaking process. It's great. Number two, what you're going to do is you're going to beat the flax. Right, basically to soften it up, loosen it up, and then finally, what you're going to do is you're going to comb the flax. Okay, so those are the three steps, and once you go through all three steps, so now you have something which you can twine and make into your linen. Okay, now the flax is something which grows from the ground. Okay, good. So so now that it grows from the ground, so can I use it for schach? Presumably, the answer is yes. So the answer is yes, but it gets to a point where the answer is going to become no. Meaning that in its raw state, meaning as you just pick it off the ground, so then for sure, it's no different than using vines, leaves. In other words, it would be perfectly good schach. The problem is that now once it goes through a processing stage, so at a certain point in the processing stage, it's no longer eligible to be used as schach. Now, why not? So Rashi over here gives one pshat. Right? There are at least three pshatim, but right now, for the daf, will suffice with Rashi's pshat, and that is that once flax now has been processed a certain amount, so now it's eligible to become tameh with tumas negayim. So we know that tumas negayim affects clothing, and the Gemara in Shabbos, Rashi quotes it over here, says that when you get the flax at a certain stage of the processing, so now it's eligible to become subject to tumas nega. That if I have tsaras on the processed flax, well, let's call it linen. So now it's going to be subject to tumas negayim. So now, once you get from the very raw state of just picking it off the ground to now where it's a certain amount of the processing stages have been accomplished. So now it goes from being kasher l'schach, that's when you immediately pull from the ground, to now where it gets to a point where it's no longer it's processed, subject to tumas negayim, and therefore not going to be able to use as your schach. Okay, the simple question is that I describe three processes, three steps. At what point now is it no longer eligible to be used as your schach? Stay tuned. As you can imagine, that's going to be up for a debate. But it's a short debate in the Gemara. And with this, we'll finish with today's daf. Amar Rabba Bar Barchan Amar Rav Yochanan. Schach ha-banitzei pishtan psula. So if I am misachech using anitzei pishtan, so that's when it's gone through a processing. So that's no good. In other words, it's makabel tuma. It's no good. And behutznei pishtan kshera. But if I use the hutznei, so then it's going to be fine. Vehushnei pishtan eni yodea mahu. I'm sorry. Yeah. I was right. Vehushnei pishtan eni yodea mahu. And as far as hushnei, so that I don't know. Meaning, so if it's hutznei, so that means that I just, right after I picked it from the ground, that's fine. And if it is anitze pishtan, so that means that it's gone through processing. And therefore, it's no good. What if it's somewhere mid-process? It's in process. That's hushnei. And eni yodea. And Rav Yochanan is, sorry, Rabba Bar Barchan is quoting Rav Yochanan, saying, not sure. I mean, I don't know. So, and on top of that, not only do I get an I don't know in the mid-process, what part are we in mid-process? That too we don't know. So there really are two I don't knows over here. In other words, if you're in the middle of processing, I don't know, and where exactly are we? Because remember, there are three steps. So where what's the middle considered? That's also I don't know. So manafshach, e daik velo nafitz. So let's say you beat it, but you didn't comb it. So hushne karile. So that's just simply called hushne avaltari velo daik hutzne karile. But if all you did is just went through the first step of stoking it, so maybe that's still considered hutzne. And hutzne is considered still raw, still totally unprocessed, and that would be fine. So that is version number one. So in version number one, so if all you did was just soak the flax, that's fine. You could still use that as your schach. Only after you beat it, now we're in this middle stage. Odoma, tari velo daik nami hushne karile. Or possibly, once you soak it, that's already considered mid-process. And that now falls into the category of hushne. Now remember, we don't know, meaning whether hushne is eligible to be used as schach or not, but in other words, but once we soak it, it already gets into the mid-process. And so therefore it falls into a suffix, and on a suffix like this, presumably the conclusion would be you cannot use it as schach. Okay, so, it's a suffix on the daraisa. All right, agreed. So the, so good. So on the flax. So when you pull it from the ground, for sure that's fine. After you finish the processing it, for sure it's not fine. If you're in the middle of processing, so, Rav Yochanan says, any yodea, I don't know. And even on that, I don't know, we don't even know what is considered the middle processing. Is it only after you start beating it? Is that considered hushne, the mid process, the mid level? Or is it even when you soak it? Okay, Gemara says, I don't know. And with that, let's review the daf. We'll stop over here. Today, we started off with the halacha of Yoschach cannot be mekabel tuma. So, how do I know that? The Gemara tried out four different drushas this morning in terms of what the source is. Seems to be that the Gemara is happiest with the drush of Rav Yochanan, Ravin's version of Rav Yochanan, Be'aspecha migancha u'miyikvecha. It has to be the psolus of your garden in Yakev. The branches, the twigs, the vines. After the harvesting, which obviously are dvarim she'ina mekabel tuma, so that is that's the third drasha. And the fourth drasha also, which is very strong, but it doesn't come from a pasuk in Chumash, it comes from a pasuk in Sefer Nehemiah, where the Navi instructs the people that they're going to be building a sukkah, and they need to get vegetation, get the twigs, and get the branches, and get the leaves, and that's what you're going to be using as your schach. Okay? So, that is the that's another possible source. On Yud Beis Amud Aleph, we started our next Mishnah. Bundles of straw, bundles of wood. So in their bundled form, so you cannot use it as schach. In other words, you put it up onto the sukkah, and now that is you're going to call that your schach. Should be okay. It's organic material, not processed, not made into a kli. Should be fine. The Mishnah says you can't do it. Ein mesachachin bo. You cannot use it as your schach. Now why not? So what we came to discover in the course of today's daf, gzera derabanan. What we learned today is gzeras otzer. Because what ends up happening is that a person may come in from the field with this bundle, put it on top of the hut, not for it to provide shade, but rather so that it will dry out. And at a later point in time, changes his mind, decides he's going to use it for shade. But there, he didn't put it there for the purpose of shade. And so therefore, it is now a failure of tasav lo manasui. Okay, now, even if he put it on for the purposes of shape, but the Chachamim made Gzera. Okay, that's Gzera Zotzer. And we also learned this morning that there's a Mishnah coming up a little bit later on about tunneling out a haystack and using that as a sukkah. That's a Psol D'Oraisa. That is Tasev Lo Manasi. That's not Gzera. Good. Those were the two statements of Rav Yochanan attaching to the two Mishnayos. But as we just went through, that's the correct way to plug in the two explanations. Two more halachas that we learned today. One is regarding the arrows. The male part of the arrow, it's flatware, it's wooden flatware, not mekabel tumah, that you could use as your schach. The female that have a toch, that have an insert, so that is, that you cannot use as your schach because it would be mekabel tumah. And the Gemara went over the chidushim of both points of Rav. Rav was the one who said over the halacha. And finally, the last thing we learned today is using stalks of flax as your schach. Perfectly fine. But once you start processing it, then it's not okay. And the way Rashi explains it is because it's mekabel tumas negayim. And so therefore you cannot use it once it has gone through a processing stage. At the final processing, for sure it's no good. What if it's somewhere in the middle? The Gemara says, Rav Yochanan says, eni yodea. But obviously we're going to be machmir because he doesn't know. And so, and on top of that, compounded, we're also unclear in terms of when the processing actually begins. Does it begin at soaking or does it begin at beating? So the Gemara says unclear about that. And so presumably we're going to be machmir. Even once you start soaking it, that's already considered the beginning of the process.